drainage system which collects from the Quabby Street and comes out at a head wall at that Booth Street, Quabby Street intersection. So basically we're just collecting that, piping it all the way through, so it provides a whole pipe network from Quabby Street all the way down to Ivorack and feeds into that Sandy McPherson Dam system there. So that was in advance of some curb and gutter works there.
They poured that on the way, when I was on the way, they were pouring.
They're into it, yeah. So, the job there, intersection of Yithan and Warri Street, some path works there which have been done. It was an old bitumen asphalt path network there to the curb and gutter. Very kind of aged and deteriorated, tree roots and so on, very, you know, trip points and all the rest of it. So, hence why we listed it. They pulled the curb and gutter. We'll excavate the old bitumen from the path to the curb and we'll granite that, provide a surface, remove those trip points, look at a couple of trees there as well. We moved a couple of old carajongs, which is part of our tree replacement, removal of the carajongs.
So have there been more trees planted there or not?
Yeah, the plan is to plant two trees on each facing street. So that'll be done with the granite.
It certainly come up good and get rid of that old carriage on, and that saved a lot of issues.
Yeah, obviously they're not going to have the shape as what they had before for a while, but they'll get there.
They were the ones that had the bugs in them earlier, wasn't
they? Yeah, they used to complain about bugs all the time about that. Yeah, that was one of the issues. ES3, local roads community infrastructure program, again a bit more curb and gutter work. And this is number of streets, so it's Lewis Street, Devlin Street, both sides of Devlin, then up Lewis Street up to Coolamah Carpentry. So that's part of that program, same deal. We'll try and backfill that. It only got poured yesterday actually, and today they're doing the second stage of that. So hopefully next week it will have enough strength for us to be able to backfill in behind it and a bit of gravel in front. Again, we'll list that for some sealing in a program in the new year. ES4 is updated on the business park. It's progressing fairly well now that we've got some dry weather. Contractors with the sewer and stormwater at the back, they'll get close to having that installed by Christmas. There'll be some cleaning and tidy up through there. Pump stations are all excavated and their components have gone in. Mid to late January, they'll be coming back there to do the fit out, to put the pumps in, all the wiring, water, all that stuff to make them operational. Concreter, well, he's on the curb and gutter now, but part of that, he's finished off the path before length there. He'll be back in the new year in January to start on the driveways. Topsoil's been shaping there on the nature strip between the curb and the path. Speaking with landscaper, he's going to start there early next week, start doing a bit of path in behind the curb and gutter. He'll be back in the new year to again continue on with the landscaping of that. It's a big job, so he'll be there for a while. And electrical contractors, there was an outage the other week. They got one or two turrets there to finish off. And then that'll be live. So that's the business part, just ticking along. Yes. Yes.
I just asked Tony if the business park, have we got a time frame we've got in mind when we'll start marketing those blocks?
Well, we've got, at this point, I've got a list in my office that, of 40 odd people. I'm probably up to 35, probably got five more people to go. I would suggest I've got probably 13 or 14 people have taken a draft contract off to talk to their accountants, husbands or wives, banks, whoever they want to. We wanted it to be sorted by the end of this year, but due to all those fun and games we've had, and also because Transport for New South Wales have now asked if they can extend not putting up that back fence till the end of February, is that we won't be selling those to people till the end of February, because that's when we can put the fence up and hand them over. So everyone who has spoken to me or taken a thing and put their name down. I've got one person's already put their deposit down. At that point in time, we will be saying, Righto, what are you doing and what are you not doing? We will then know how many blocks we've got left, and then that's when I'll start. Because at the moment, we haven't marketed anything. It's all been by word of mouth. And so we've probably had people with their name on over half, which is positive. And I've still got five more people to go.
Are those people picking where they'd like to be, or it's just...
They are at this point. And that's why I've gone through them in the order that I've done them in. Mm.
So that...
Are we allowed to ask how much you're selling the blocks for?
You guys endorsed all that. It was $120 a square metre, okay. Which meant that the smallest ones were $250,000. The largest ones are about $350,000, but because it's a square metre, they fluctuate a little bit in that. And I've been explaining to them, if they build within and have their business operational within 3 years, they get a $20,000 refund.
Right, thank you.
Okay.
You know, that's ES4. Yes. ES5 is roads to recovery. With the road reconstruction, there's 2.5 kilometres there. We've split that in two, so we've done the about 1.3 kilometres. That's from the causeway. Back towards the Arlethan Road, that was sealed last week, I think it was, and we'll target the remaining section in the new year. Mara North, number of heavy patches there we had already had listed in the budget, but over winter we had a fair bit of damage with grain haulage to Emerald Grain. Impacted that section of road considerably, and essentially we've doubled the square metres of repairs that needed to be done there. We'll certainly exhaust the allocation that we had, but the remaining funds there will be drawn from the fixing local roads pothole repair program, which has been recently been announced. So they'll put a bit of a hole in that. It's just unfortunate that grain operators have chosen to cart in the worst period of time on rural local sealed roads rather than using state and regional road network. That's where our lease funds are drawn from to be able to maintain that network. It's got to make it difficult to maintain other sections of our road network.
Are we able to give them some correspondence regarding our preferred routes? And obviously timings, I suppose, is a bit hard. They've got deliveries they've got to make and reach, but are we able to write a letter to them, make contact with them and advise them of our preferred routes?
You can, when you know who's carting and who's not. You don't know when they're carting,
it's a pretty difficult situation in that they had full bunkers from the year before and needed to empty them to get this year's ready, and some of the roads that people were travelling were so damaged that they were picking alternate routes to save their trucks as well. So this has just been a bad year in my take.
I guess as a generalisation, rather than trying to pick out certain operators, maybe write to the Emeralds and the Grain Corps and if they can include it in their growers pack or their contractors pack.
And that's, like in this instance, we're out there inspecting the road and saw a truck come through. So I followed him and thought, oh, where's he going?
Yeah.
So I followed him to where he's delivering it and had to speak to the guys there on site, and they got hold of him and advised him to where to appropriate routes are. So until you actually see it happen, and hopefully when you just see it, it's the damage has been done.
Yeah.
But they should be, you know, they should be already aware of where our major routes are and what we're trying to do.
With the, I know we're coming up to the FLR pothole thing, but because we had the diversion put through the Shire from Narandra, are they going to give us extra funding to compensate for that, for the damage done to our roads?
They will. In short, they will. When they notified us that they were requesting to put the detour through, he said, you know, that's fine, but our roads at a certain standard, any deterioration done throughout that period, we'll be seeking compensation. They've advised to put that in with our natural disaster claim. Previous times where they've put a detour through here, we've done a separate claim, straight to Transport New South Wales. In this scenario, they've advised us to incorporate the damage that we'll identify with that in with a natural disaster claim.
First thing we did when that detour occurred was drove the road with a camera.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, through no fault of our own, we had to keep stuff going for the state.
Because we didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? We should be compensated and it shouldn't take, we should get full compensation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll be, not only are we going to include in our claim the damage that's done there, and now that we're with, you know, the sections that we need to do rehabilitation patches or so on, you know, we'll be incorporating the emergency works, which is essentially trying to hold it together throughout the event as well. So, ES6, our natural disaster claim, as we're talking about. So, we've been busy driving our road network. Again, the degree of damage is very broad, from minor washouts and isolated sections of gravel roads to major blowouts. Culvert damage, head walls and exposed pipes and all the rest of that. So we've been driving and identifying the defects, put some dollars to that. Part of the conditions, as Tony said there, of in our claims is you need to show evidence of precondition. You need to get photos of the existing damage, and then once it's, if it's all approved, once you've done the repairs, you need to show evidence of the repair work. So there's a big form you have to fill out. You have your GPS locations, links, type of damage. There's a fair bit involved in the background of getting that. Essentially, doing the surveillance work for them, and if you do it all right and you're honest about it, there should be no issues, which I think we are. ES7's the fixing local roads pothole repair. That's from the 50 million announcement the government made to deal with the widespread pothole damage across local government network. It was a fairly straightforward submission to state government. It was determined on pro rata of kilometres of road network that you have, resulting in us getting $480,671.54. As indicated there, about 120 of that were already spent up on Mara North. And the remaining money will easily go across our network for potholes. ES8 Biosecurity Weeds reports, just what they've been up to over the last month, bit of treatment down there in Mara on Kulatai grass. St. John's wort is our biggest issue. I'm sure as you can appreciate, fairly wet soon, things start to warm up now, and that stuff is going berserk, taking a lot of money out of our allocation. So 30,000 we got the special funding this year. Majority of that's going on St. John's wort, and on annual expenditure on St. John's wort, just essentially to hold it, is we spend up 20 to 25 grand on that. So it's taken a fair bit to hold it this year. Contractors have gone through a fair bit of the money and seeking a bit more to address a few areas that we'll be having to provide attention to. So we'll roll with that. We'll have to assess dollars after this treatment and see what else pops up in the meantime. They're doing their inspections, spraying landfills, cemeteries, attending their various meetings. Essentially that is there for your information. Any questions?
Okay, any questions there of ES1 to ES8? If not, can I have someone move and second? Councillor McKinnon, Councillor Hutchin, thank you. All those in favour? Against? Carried.
ES9's request there, you'll see the attachments there from Grain Corp, their road compliance manager. We've had a few issues up there in Ardlethan where they've been trying to get PBS vehicles up to 30 metres into that site. You'll see in the letter he's not only asking that site, but he's pursuing their other Grain Corp sites, Coolman, Mara, Matong and Maroo. The Arletha one is fairly straightforward, to be honest. It's already pre-approved for a double road trains up to 30 metres. The turning circle on this particular vehicle, is no different. It's already approved for HML vehicles, so loadings again is not an issue. So it's, as I said, it's fairly straightforward. It's just that route is coming off the Burley Griffin Way over the railway lines, turning left up to the grain centres, and then it's the railway street which leads to their silo area. So that's the only the route that is pre-approved. That's what they're requesting here.
What is GrainCorp's responsibility? Are they meant to check permits for every road train that come in?
They should be only receiving vehicles which are approved for that route. Yeah.
So if they're coming in other ways,
it's if they, if,
whose responsibility is it to check?
It's all part. It's all part of a chain of responsibility. So if they know that a vehicle's coming from a certain route that's unapproved, they've got a, they're part of that chain of responsibility where they can, should be turning that vehicle back, turning it away.
Right.
And that's what the, that's what it, if you speak to the compliance officers, that they said they were speaking to those receival centres because they are part of that chain of responsibility. So it, essentially, if they're found to be known that they're receiving grain from a region that's on, that's not approved for that route, they can receive a fine just like a transport operator.
So if we're not allowing anything over 26 metres as far as road trains or B-doubles, we're going to allow 30 metre.
You're talking about this particular. This is already pre-approved for road train, A double road trains up to 30 metres.
In the Coolerman Shire?
No, for this particular route,
right.
Which is, I'm talking about from Burley from Wayne,
mm-hmm.
going up Maraul Street, past the London Hotel, over the railway lines, mm-hmm. first left down Maraul Street, up to Emerald and GrainCorp. That's pre-approved for A double road trains up to 30 metres.
Right.
So if you're a transport operator, you put an application into the regulator
mm-hmm.
for an A double up to 30 metres, you'd have an automatic response giving you consent without council seeing it.
But so if this, you want to come in from say Tallimba or somewhere else, you're not going to get
it. You won't get it. It'll come through to me for assessment and it'll be declined.
We get a new road. So it's only off Burley Griffin Road?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How do I get to Burley Griffin
Road?
They can
travel Burley
Griffin
Road.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You
can't from
one. Well, they could be coming from out Narendra Way or Bland, but if they're coming from within Coolerman Shire, they'll need to put an application in through the regulator for that particular route.
Yeah, to get onto the Burley Griffin Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for any local road, any council local road, they're putting a road train on it.
Yeah.
So they can come in off the
Newell,
basically.
Yeah.
If
you're coming up Ardleffin Road, if you're coming up Madong North and onto Ardleffin Road, and you want to get to Ardleffin, the application will come through to council for Ardleffin Road and Madong North for us to assess it to wherever you're coming out of a paddy.
So basically, that time you're not really going to need a permit for. That won't come to council. If say you're coming from Borella,
yep.
and you're sticking to the Burley Griffin Road,
yep.
that's straight through. You're coming from Tamora side up the Newell,
yep. and up Hill Road, and you're coming.
You're right.
Yeah, but you're in.
But
yep.
if you're pulling out of any paddock onto a minor road onto yep. that, you need a